your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Following up on that last two-part interview that I just had with Jesse Felder, I am replaying an episode that was posted on Friday. This is part of a much longer discussion that I had with John Fenech. We move over from the short squeezes in some of the broad averages or mainstream stocks to now looking at some of the short squeezes that started to come into some silver stocks at the end of the week. I hope you all enjoy. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with John Fenech. He is a portfolio manager and consultant in the resource and commodity sector. Now, John, I've had you on the show once before, and I was impressed with what you provide to clients and a lot of your analysis into these individual resource stocks. We are going to get into a couple of the industrial metals a bit later on, but I think a more timely discussion is some of these silver stocks or somewhat better known resource stocks that we're getting a little bit of a short squeeze in. Yesterday's trading, even during the after hours in the market, we are seeing stocks like First Majestic and McEwen Mining a pop in their share price. Now, both of these companies have large short positions that are well known to the market. And quite frankly, this whole short squeeze trend, and it looks like a bunch of online traders, social media traders, as I am calling them, have now started to maybe target some of these resource companies. We'll see what happens with regulators and their ability to step in, like we have seen this week. But what's your takeaway from First Majestic and McEwen Mining looking like they're going through a bit of a short squeeze here?
Sure, Corey. Thanks a lot for having me on the show again. I appreciate it. And, you know, we have both of those in full disclosure in our portfolio. So we were thrilled this morning. And, you know, AG has been something I've been in and out of as a professional trader for 12, 13 years now. We sold our entire position into this strength between 17 and 1990. Huge range there. We don't sell all at once. But we closed at 1686 today, and it's trading, as I look at it right now, at 1807 post-market. So again, getting another bump here. There's, you know, 23% short that we know of, and that's a massive amount of shares that are short. My buddy Bill Powers interviewed Keith Neumeyer, the CEO, today. So that went live on miningstockeducation.com for those that want to check that out. They've got a great story. You know, the issue that I have there is that they're 100% Mexico. And Mexico, as we talked about on your last, you know, show, that it is a little worrisome to me that the country's being led by someone who may or may not be mining friendly. We'll see. So that's why we took the exposure down and we rotated that money into other silver cos like GPL that were trading, you know, flat for the last couple of days, even though silver is popping. As far as McEwen is concerned, I met Rob like 2 years ago. He's a very, you know, straightforward guy, and I appreciate that about whoever I'm working with. You know, he was basically saying that they had some operational challenges before, you know, many people figured that out. And, you know, as a former analyst, I'm able to ask certain questions of people like Keith or Rob that, you know, go deeper than just, you know, tell me about your whatever, you know, drill results, you know. So we saw caution in September of 2019. We got out of the stock at $2, sat on our hands, and now we've been re-entering here between 90 and 93 cents. Stock closed at around $1.18 or $1.19 today. So I think there's a lot of upside in something like that. Again, it's got 20% of the share short, and Rob, I believe, owns somewhere between 23 and 25% of the float. The other name that I'm looking at for a potential short squeeze right now is Fury. Fury is F-U-R-Y in the States. They bought East Main, and have been under huge, short pressure since I would call it Thanksgiving. If you look at the share price, it's been trending sideways. We put a buy on it at $1.24 and a second buy around $1.34. Closed around $1.41 today, so not a lot of appreciation yet, which I love. You know, I think once you get through that $2 Canadian price, which I believe equates to about $1.56, $1.57 US, you're going to see the shorts run for the hills, much like they did on AG and MUX today.
Now, John, in all fairness, the reason why some of these stocks are shorted, well, is because some of their fundamentals, some of their operations had some problems, such as McEwen Mining. Some of their financials were coming in a bit more, well, on the downside, right? And that was what was leading to these short positions being taken. How much do you attribute these short squeezes to some of these very short-term traders that see this opportunity and they actually don't care the fundamentals of the company? They just want to force shorts to be covered. How much of that is a factor here, and how much of a factor of the companies maybe turning around some of their production that is helping move these stocks higher?
It's a great question. I couldn't tell you exactly how much of this is, you know, the Reddit crowd and Robinhooders, but I would say that McEwen is going to make it, right? I mean, Rob's a billionaire. He wants that share price at a dollar or higher because he doesn't want to lose his key listing. So that's what I keep telling people. Hey, at 90, 91 cents, we're going to be buying this because it's going back to a buck, and it broke through a buck today. So, you know, we're not looking at McEwen as a home run for us, but we're looking at it as an undervalued play in the framework of a bull market for precious metals. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's one of the key factors, too, is that the bull market for precious metals, that can squeeze a lot of the shorts anyway. But it is just a concept that we all need to be aware of, is how much of this fast money is into this stock, because that then can really determine just how long of a hold it is.
Right. And so when you look at a website like shortsqueeze.com, you can type in MUX into the search field, you can see what percentage of the float is short, and then you can see how many days the shorts have to cover. And I think that's an important metric to look at. So if the days to cover on a stock are like 10, you know, it's really attractive because it's going to take people a lot of time to get, you know, their short positions covered, and you've got a move then that would last a few days, you know? So that's something that I would recommend people do, you know, not just look at Yahoo Finance to get the short information, but, you know, look at shortsqueeze.com. That's a site that we use pretty regularly.
Okay, absolutely. Something to consider, and also just something to understand that, hey, if this money starts rotating into the precious metals sector, that can provide the type of torque that we haven't seen in, well, ever for that sector. You want to address that fact, just how much money is behind some of these traders?
Yeah, I mean, we talked, you know, offline about AMC and GameStop and some of these names that they've been in previous to our sector today. And these are much larger market caps than anything in our sector, period, end of story. So, you know, what I've always told my clients is be ready for a day like this, because traders pile in, they don't even know what they're buying sometimes, right? I mean, it's a euphoric time. So they may not realize they're going to move a stock as much as they do. So if you are selling, we tell people put your, you know, sell orders way away from the action on a day like today, because you just don't know how good it can get. And we've been waiting for something like this for quite some time. So we will continue to buy, you know, out of favor names that are going to make it, that have heavy short interest like a Fury, that have a plan, right? We're not just going to blindly buy companies, but you know, Ivan Bevick's been doing this for 20 plus years. I mean, I'm much more happy to be aligned with someone like that than to be shorting their company.
Yeah, fair enough. But hey, it's very interesting to see this money start to flow in. Just as summary then, out of First Majestic, McEwen, GPL, so Great Panther and Fury, which one are you holding? Which ones are you selling? What are your strategies here?
I sold all of my First Majestic over the last 24 hours. I'll buy it back. But, you know, when you move from a close of 1389 to 1990 in a day, I'm going to take that gain. when you look at MUX, we hold 100%. We sold nothing because it's so short and so depressed. So we own that. We own GPL. We put a huge position on today at 75 cents. There was a big institutional buyer at 75 last 2 days in a row. And then we also own Fury and are building that position because it's an undervalued gold name.
Well, and even yesterday I came out with an update from Fury and the CEO, Mike Timmon. So I recommend everybody listening to that. It was on the back of an initial drill result at that Eau Claire project. Let's move over into some of the industrial metals then, starting with copper. Copper has been doing very well. Copper had a significant breakout at the tail end of last year and continued throughout the early part of this year. However, over the last about two and a half weeks, the price has faded from a high of just above 370, now just below 350. On a daily chart, it has even dropped a little bit below some of the key moving averages. But again, the run has been so strong for copper. What are your views on the copper sector?
Sure, thanks. So copper is very compelling in our view because of the fact that everyone is betting on an economic rebound, right? Globally, I mean, it's clear. You're seeing this in real estate prices, in the stock markets, you know, making all-time highs. It's like copper is what you want to buy when there's going to be expansion. And so I see us coming out of this pandemic in one piece. When that actually happens, I don't know. But, you know, as a chart guy, I'm looking at copper breaking out and you have to respect that, right? So if you look at FCX as one of the bigger copper stocks, it's really run hard. Not unusual. Same thing happened with gold and silver last year. A lot of the major companies like that have broken out. And then the little ones will follow. So we're buying the little ones. So we own Granite Copper, which is GCXXF. I just did a piece on Streetwise, which is with Cindy Edwards. I guess that went live January 26th that your viewers can check out. And I went into detail about why we like Granite. And Tim Johnson, the CEO, was featured on that for about 5 minutes. But, you know, they're got a nice big land package. And, you know, it's a good jurisdiction. And the stock is just got a new market maker that I helped put in place there in December. So it's got more liquidity. When I started to buy this thing, it was like trading by appointment. So it was very difficult to get anything. But, you know, here at 14 cents, we really like GCXXF. We like Generation Mining, which is a combination of copper and palladium. They are coming out with a feasibility study probably by late February or early March. So there's a near-term catalyst that I think will drive the shares higher. We'll get into palladium in a minute, Corey, but, you know, I used to write on palladium for Sprott and, feel very comfortable with, the jurisdiction they're in as well. There aren't a lot of palladium plays outside of South Africa and Russia that you can buy as a, you know, investor. And this is one of them. And that ticker is GENMF. So Gen MF. Lastly, in copper, I would mention one that is probably not on anyone's radar, which is Copper Lake. That ticker is WTCZF. I just met Terry, the CEO there, probably about 4 or 5 months ago. I started to buy the stock at 0.013 this summer because I said, why is this, you know, stock that has copper in the name, a palladium deposit, and has like gold and silver, you know, trading so poorly? In talking to Terry, it's really interesting that, that Dundee had owned a ton of the shares and dumped the shares and really hurt the chart. Like, I mean, they took it from 3.5 cents US to like a penny and it never recovered. This is, if you look at the chart in the fourth quarter of 2019. So 2020 was sort of a comeback year for them. And now the stock's breaking out. They came out with drill results 2 days ago. They were going to drill four holes, ended up drilling three. But they came across more silver in those holes than they expected. So they were encouraged by that. And that's Marshall Lake. Their Norton Lake property is the one that I am excited about as a palladium guy because, again, great jurisdiction in Canada and people want palladium. There's literally a supply shortage that is going to continue, in my view, for many months.
Okay, so betting on this whole economic restart whenever that might come. Just one follow-up quick question when it comes to copper. We've seen a lot more copper companies come into the market. That's what happens when a metal, especially one as well known as copper, starts to run. Where's the sweet spot when it comes to copper companies then? Because you have advanced projects that have been advanced and de-risked over a number of years, but they have huge capexes, but they also don't necessarily stand out because there's a number of them, but now there's a whole lot more exploration plays that are in the market. So where are you finding the sweet spot?
Mm-hmm. So much like we talked about a couple weeks ago, when you looked at the rally in gold and silver stocks, it was royalties first, big cap name second, and then the juniors and mid-tiers followed, right? And so that progression is going to happen in copper and palladium, in my view. So we're buying the small stuff, because if you look at FCX or SCCO, the big copper names, they've already run, you know, and I'm not saying you couldn't buy them here. You absolutely could, but I'd rather buy a granite at 9 cents and have it go to 20 and then, you know, settle down here at 14 and reload and watch it go to 20 again, you know, and make 100 and whatever percent, as opposed to, you know, buying FCX and making 20%. So the names I just gave you are flying under the radar. These are names that did not make a big institutional list like Deutsche Bank put out last week. You know, I think they named like 37 copper names that they like, and none of those names I just gave your listeners were on the list. It's like, that's what I'm looking for. I want to buy stuff before it makes a big institutional list or before the analysts start figuring things out.
Yeah, makes sense. Go find that undervalued stuff. That just takes a lot of work. But hey, I respect that you are doing that. And what about palladium then? You've already mentioned a couple blended companies that have some palladium exposure. But palladium, in all fairness, has been a bit more range bound than, say, copper that went through its major breakout.
That's true. But 82% of the world's palladium is made and found in two places. That's Russia, which, you know, not a fan of, and South Africa, which is, you know, strikes like clockwork every 9 to 12 months, right? So you've got that potential for striking in South Africa all the time. That's over 40% of the world's palladium right there. I know this because one of my biggest holdings that I recently sold, Sibanye, SBSW, is a major player there, and I've gotten to know James and Neil on the team very well. And they you know, have turned me on to different things, different dynamics about that market. What I would recommend people look at is when you have a Sibanye, look at their palladium assets, right? So they're going to be in South Africa, but they're also in Montana. And so when you look at where the name Sibanye Stillwater comes from, it's because they bought Stillwater a few years ago. I think it was 2017. I have to check, but the former ticker was SWC on Stillwater. I owned that for, you know, many years. And then SBSW as a result of the acquisition. And then I asked, you know, Neil and his team, hey, what else do you like in that area? And they said, well, Group 10 is directly next to us, right? So that symbol is PGEZF. And when I say that I'm interested in the Group 10, it's not just about the potential for someone like Sibanye just gobbling them up. It's like, hey, if you're in a jurisdiction like Montana that is already permitted, you know, and proven in my view, then why don't you buy the Group 10 and sell your Sibanye and rotate that money into Group 10, right? That's what I did. So I'm buying Group 10 here, you know, again today at 26 cents. I'm like, I don't even know how it's gotten here, but it's going back to higher prices. I can tell you that. I think there's going to be some good news flow in the company. And that's one of my favorite, you know, palladium stories in that it is U.S. based for a good amount of their deposits. Another name outside of Generation Mining in Group 10, you know, we talked about Copper Lake, WTCZF, that has Norton Lake as a palladium play. And then one of our largest holdings we're starting to sell into strength here, which is Palladium One, which is NKORF. Great drill results throughout the fourth quarter into January. But if you look at a chart, it's trading at a higher, you know, premium than any of the names I just talked about. So as you can tell, Corey, we take money off the table in names like Palladium One and AG and rotate them into similar names, you know, in that same subsector.
Yeah, I got you. Actively managing it. And hey, there are some good gains to be had when you do find some of these stocks that sell off or completely underperform what the sector, the individual metal, is doing. Let's wrap it up with nickel, because nickel is another one that has been running. Nickel also goes along the same lines as a lot of these industrial metals. People are looking for more North American supply, let's say. So what's catching your eye in the nickel sector?
Yeah, sure. So that same Streetwise piece that I referenced with Cindy Edwards that I did January 26, I had the Group 10 CEO, Mike Rowley, on that. And I mentioned that around the 41-minute mark, where I said, hey, look, nickel is present in Group 10's deposits, and they're getting zero credit for this, and it's battery grade. So, like, you know, why with Elon Musk, you know, talking about this like every week, you know, you look at a Talon, which is TLOFF, not going after Talon, by the way, but like when you look at their P to NAV, their price to NAV, net asset value, it's around a 0.80 going into today's trading. You know, this is going to be far lower on that scale, below average, I would say, which is around 0.2 for the average. The other name that I own in nickel that I really like is FPX on the TSX. Its ticker is FPOCF in the States. And I've known that CEO for the last 16 months. It's been one of our absolute home runs. We got in at 10 cents US and have just been piling in when we have sell-offs. I would encourage people to look at that, because the two analysts that are covering it don't even talk about the fact that they have this band target, which could be as good as Baptiste, which is what they get all the credit for. If you look at Newsflow, September of 2020, they put a PEA out on Baptiste, which was, I thought, phenomenal, and the stock really moved on that news, but it has come back to earth. And so, yeah, we're buying that here, right here, at 52 cents US.
All right. Well, John, a lot to take in for our listeners, but a lot of stocks that you've outlined as to why you're buying them. I appreciate you being upfront in terms of when and how you are trading these stocks. Hey, John, it's great having you on the show. We'll be chatting again in another couple weeks, and I'm sure we'll be outlining some more stocks where you're seeing maybe some misallocations of money and some opportunities. So, John, thanks for your time, buddy, and have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot, Corey. Take care now.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.